Coming to you live from our Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is our weekly conversation with NFL Network's Ian Rappaport. Brought to you by Porter & York. Rare meat, well done. Visit PorterAndYork.com. Now with Ian Rappaport, here's Ian Furness.
Stand by to the very end of this segment because we have some special news from our friends at Porter & York. Kevin will pass along. In the meantime, our man, Ian Rappaport, joins us back in his familiar Friday setting and time slot after being really too big for us last week. I mean, he had this thing called the NFL Network, which apparently is a bigger deal than Sports Radio KJR in Seattle. I'm not sure why, but I guess that works for you. Didn't work for us, buddy, but it's good to have you back on. How are you, man?
What's going on? How you guys doing? Yeah, I'm glad we're back in our normal spot, and I'm glad I'm back in my normal place. And the draft is over, and it's golf season, so there's a lot of things to be happy about, I would say.
How's the golf game? When are we going to play? We talk about this every year. Are you going to come out here this year, do you think, post-pandemic, or is it
I'm planning on it. Okay. I'm fully vaccinated, and hopefully by then, I've already made two trips this year. Hopefully training camp trips are still kind of in the mix, so if I'm out there, we will definitely do it.
I love it. All right, I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable here, so I'm going to ask you a very general question, and it's this.
It doesn't sound right.
I know it doesn't. If it was the show prior and they had Mike on, then they probably would, but I'll try to keep it a little bit less uncomfortable for everybody. But I do want to know this, and I think our listeners do as well. What should we know? What do we know? And how urgent was everything last week that was reported by the other place over the other side of the street in regards to Aaron Rodgers? Because there's so much that has come out in terms of how it was reported and all that. And I don't want you're not taking shots at guys. I just want to know what people need to know about Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I mean, there's been a lot of, I think this past week, a lot of kind of strange discussion for me. Like, it's sort of a discussion about like why the news came out when it did, and to me, it sort of doesn't matter, right? Like, it's a story. It's a real story. And I think we've known Aaron Rodgers was not happy for some time. There's been, all sorts of little pieces of this that we've seen this whole offseason. It's been Rodgers refusing a contract restructure. It's been, discord between him and the Packers in the contract negotiations. It's been him seeming to say goodbye after the season. Acting of Jordan Love was obviously not something he liked much. I mean, all of these kind of have been following us through the offseason. Yes, he has talked about potentially being somewhere else. To me, this is more of a situation where the Packers and Aaron Rodgers haven't found the middle ground yet. There is a contract negotiation going on, and during negotiations, sometimes things get said, sometimes people get heated, they get emotional, they get petty, both sides. And, I think the fact that Rodgers' agent, Dave Dunn, flew out to Green Bay several times to meet with him, the fact that the Packers' brass flew out to California several times to meet with Rodgers, it's all serious. I just haven't heard anything where it says to me, like, he's never returning. It's not good, but I haven't heard anything that leads me to think it's definitely over.
Could there be an extension then? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, they've had contract negotiations. They're not there yet, but they have talked. And, it's, at different times I've heard they've made progress. At other times I've heard they're nowhere. But it's like having to keep track of the contract negotiations means, there are times when things are real bad. There are times when you're like, oh, actually, maybe it's not as bad. Mm-hmm. I would say with Rodgers and the Packers, around draft week, things weren't good. We've since seen a couple different people close to Rodgers. James Jones is one. A.J. Hawk is another, who've come out and said that it's fixable. I personally, just my own personal belief, think that it's fixable. We'll see if they get there, but that is my current thought.
Interesting. Ian Rappaport, brought to you by Porter & York, joining us here on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline weekly visit. I need you to also see, I'm asking you to kind of get us through the weeds here, and our listeners and our fans out here. Off-season workout program dates were announced this week for the Seahawks, May 24th, May 26th and 27th, June 1, 3, 4, 7, 10. Mandatory minicamp, June 15th and 17th. Rookie minicamp is next weekend, May 14th, 15th, and 16th. Can you kind of give us a little feel? When will we actually see players or hear about seeing players on the field for these things?
You're going to see players on the field the middle of May. Now, and I assume we'll have cameras there, you know, and it's obviously been a big push-pull with the union and the NFL. And again, these are negotiations, right? Like, the union is trying to limit the offseason, saying, hey, look, last year we didn't have an offseason. The football was great, which is true. Football was great. I don't know how to account for the players who didn't get developed because they weren't there, or the undrafted rookies who never have a shot, never had a shot. I mean, there's a lot of other things here. But, yes, there were fewer injuries, and the football was fine. The union is clearly using this to limit the offseason. The NFL has already made the first 4 weeks virtual. And look, I mean, you know, by the middle of May, a lot of players are going to have, will have been vaccinated. A lot of players. I would assume most of the coaches and the personnel people will have been vaccinated by then. It should be safe. I mean, I see players on social media all the time without masks, and then they're claiming, you know, it's not safe, you know, to go into the facilities. There's a lot that doesn't add up here. You know, it's pretty clear to me the union is just using this to try to limit the offseason, seeing how far they can go.
Wrap the mandatory mini camp, that for sure people will have to be on the field. The other ones are not mandatory, though, right? Those, yes. OTAs, is that right?
Right. The OTAs are not mandatory. And it's going to be really fascinating to see how many people are actually there. Like, they did this whole thing about, you know, making sure that, you know, trying to get players to boycott. And there were some facilities where you had 40 or 50 players. You know why? Because players care about their own self-interest, as they should. I mean, that's, you know, if you're and, you know, it's your career, you should care about yourself, just like we all care about our career. So, you know, the talk is fine, but when you have a player who's on the roster bubble and he wants to be there to show the coaches that he cares, like, he's going to be there. And I think agents are going to tell players, do what is best for you,
yeah,
in making this decision.
Well, I think we talked about that a few weeks ago, right? The whole, you know, blanket statement by the NFLPA about not wanting to be there and guys not wanting to be in person. There's a lot of guys that do want to be in front of coaches' eyes,
yeah,
do want to be in front of strength coaches' eyes, or as we saw from in Denver this week, they want to work out at the facility, right? I mean, there's that,
well,
too.
Yeah. I mean, and that's one of the most interesting things is that, you know, we saw a situation where a player may lose $10.68 million, $10 million, because he heeded the union's advice and, you know, didn't work out with his friends. Worked out with his friends, wasn't at the facility. That's a lot of money. That's a real lot of money for someone.
Rap, is the union going to take care of him at all? Like, is there going to be it?
There's nothing that, I mean, I'm sure they're filed a grievance, but there's nothing to file. I mean, unless they're going to just give him the money, which I don't think is going to happen, there's nothing to do. He's going to probably lose the grievance. The rules have been on the books since, like, 1970. There's not much to do.
Jeez. That is really, really harsh. Hey, can you help me out? It has changed over the years. Why is it? And now, it's some teams, I saw the Raiders and a couple others actually announced their full list of undrafted free agent signings today. We had a player agent on yesterday that just says the process is just getting more difficult by the year for undrafted free agents, mm-hmm, in terms of, you know, what a cluster blanket is right after the draft. But teams aren't even, like, mm-hmm, it used to be they'd announce everything after like 24 hours or so after the draft. Why is it such a secretive thing now?
Because I have no idea. I mean, the undrafted free agent process is weird anyway, and it's always crazy because, like, you're not allowed to talk to players until after the draft's over, but literally everyone, you know, by the sixth round, everyone's like, you know, hey, let's negotiate. And then, you know, it's weird because everybody wants to be drafted, but then you're sort of like, hey, maybe I don't want to be drafted because a team that likes me will take me and, you know, and I'll fit in a good system and here's the best spot. And it's sort of like, it's really the Wild West. So it's a terrible process. I just don't know any way that it could possibly be better. And they thought about it. There's a lot of different ways, but just, you know, trying to come up with a better way is obviously proven very challenging.
I'll wrap it up with this. What are you hearing from, I know he was on ESPN's First Take this week and made it sound like the door's open. Are we hearing anything? Are you hearing anything on Richard Sherman coming back, as we would say, home to Seattle?
I mean, I've heard there's been conversations. I haven't heard anything is done. And, you know, if you're Sherman, like, you probably don't show up. My guess would be until mandatory minicamp or before training camp. That's just, you know, if he's going back to Seattle or he's going to the Jets or wherever, like, or, you know, the Raiders maybe, although they just signed Casey Hayward. It's not like he needs, you know, it's not like he needs a refresher in the system. You know, it would be interesting if Sherman came back. But there's a good reason not to burn bridges. And the reason is because you just never know. He's in a different place in his life as he was then. And yeah, I think he actually could help.
I do too. I think he'd help the young corners. I'm wondering about KJ Wright as well. I mean, he's the other one that, but I mean, at some point you start running out of money, you know, but I'm really surprised there's been no market for KJ. I mean, he came off a hell of a year. I know he's 32, but it's, man, he had a nice year last year.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know is what he's asking for. I just know this time in free agency, it's hard to get real money. Like Alejandro Villanueva got, you know, $7 million a year. And I was like, wow, because this time of year, that's a lot of money.
All right, my friend. Kevin, what do you got from Porter and York? I'm sure Ralph wants to hear what you got going on.
Well, they're trying to remind everybody, as we know, that we've had sun the last 2 hours, it seems, right?
Yeah, we did have sun for 2 hours today here in Seattle.
Which is nice. It's grilling season. It's grilling season, and if you, I gave this box called Three Steak Charlie to my uncle for his birthday.
Okay.
It is two prime bone-in ribeye steaks, two prime porterhouse steaks, and two prime 18-ounce bone-in New York steaks. Now, my quick math tells me that's 40, 88, that's over 106 ounces of beef, and it's $40 off right now at porterandyork.com. It's the Three Steak Charlie box, and it is fantastic, and it is by far the best gift you're going to give anybody. So maybe you want to plan ahead for Father's Day. You just managed to sneak in a Mother's Day thing. Plan ahead for Father's Day. Have this sent to them. You are going to be the son of the year.
Or just do it for Memorial Day coming up as well, man. And you'll be well. That sounds like a good deal. PorterNewYork.com. Rap. We'll check in with you next week, my friend. Thank you.
I look forward to it. Take care, guys.
There you go. That's the king of grilling, too, by the way. Ian Rappaport, he does a great job. I'm thinking that's Memorial Day right there, buddy. That sounds like Memorial Day. PorterNewYork.com. I want to get – listen, if you like breakfast sausage, and we go through a ton of it in our house, and I got to reorder this stuff because it's the best breakfast link sausage you'll ever get.
Yep.
Period, end of story. There's no number two, nobody close. You want to go buy the stuff in the store, that's fine. You know, at $2.79 a pack, right? That's the reason it's $2.79 a pack. This stuff is phenomenal. It's PorterNewYork.com.
We just did the Calbee-style short ribs last night. Did it with a little Asian spices on it.
Nice.
Oh, dude.
Very good.
It's so good. Every piece of meat you get from Porter and York is better than you're going to get at any sort of grocery store anywhere.
Can't buy that quality there.
And it's delivered fresh on the date that you choose. It will be at your door the date that you choose, fresh, never frozen, cut for you.